Blog Talk Radio.
Baker's Psychic Hour, and today is Halloween, so happy Halloween, everybody. Have we ever done a show on Halloween, Neil?
Oh, I know I've done them in the past. I don't know if we've ever done them together. I've been doing it 6 years. I'm not sure.
Perhaps not. I don't know, but I guess we're not really doing anything special for Halloween, but anyway, it's not a holiday we get too involved in, I guess.
Yeah, back years ago, you know, Halloween, there used to be a lot of readings on Halloween. And,
people probably want to connect with spirits and things like that. But the thing is, of course, you can connect with spirits any day of the year. It's not just, you know, Halloween where there's, you know, it doesn't enhance the connection or anything like that.
No.
But people, you know, might get...
Sometimes it's
an
there,
urge
yeah.
on Halloween if they're not really in the
There was a I remember years back three girls came and wanted a reading and they didn't tell me why, but they sat down, it was Halloween night, and I started to contact their mother, and apparently their mother had died, and I was contacting her without having realized at first. And then one girl said, oh, I don't know if you're really contacting my mother. And a pencil that was lying on the table flew at her, missed her eye by maybe 2 inches, whizzed right by her face. And that settled that matter. That was something. I mean, that was really something. I was even entertained by that one. But... you know, Halloween is not really, people think in the ghosts, the only ghosts really are the ones walking around getting candy. Spirits don't look
they,
at
they
the calendar
don't gravitate
and go, oh
towards
my God,
Halloween,
it's Halloween
as a specific date. It's more of a human
holiday
for those that aren't in the realm of, you know, spirits and ghosts to maybe. You know, their consciousness.
People conjure up that what happens is a lot of human beings will conjure up energy and maybe stir things up out there in the astral realm because a lot of energy is going out on that night. But so that might be some reasoning behind activities that go on. But in my visitations at graveyards and haunted places, but the activity of the spirit is
not going to be
commanded by the day of the month.
Right.
Unless it's like a they died on that day and there's some kind of haunting going on.
Okay. Well, anyway, we have a long list of callers today. So 519 area code, 519 does not have one pressed. If you'd like to speak with us, area code 519, please raise your hand by pressing 1 on your phone. 519. I don't know if he or she is listening to us or not, but let's take the first caller, 313 area code. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
You are like, sounds like you're in a tunnel. Can't hear you very well.
Hi, how are you?
That's better. Are you on a headset? If you're on a headset, speak right into your microphone.
No, I'm not on a headset.
You're just not speaking into the receiver. Okay, what is your name, please?
Sherelle.
Oh, it's Sherelle. Hi.
Hi. Hi, Bill. There's a
Hi.
Lot of questions. Yes. My birthday is 11/30/93.
Yes, we've got it. Okay. 11/30/93 in Chevrolet, you're in Michigan. Okay.
Yes. I have one question. I just
okay.
recently bought a 2012 Dodge Avenger. And like a
we missed that. That we didn't hear you again.
Can you
yeah,
hear
talk
me?
Real, yeah, that's better. Talk just like that. And
talk
slowly.
Slowly.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yes, I just recently bought a 2012 Dodge Avenger 2 weeks ago. And I haven't had a chance to really drive the car because I found out that I had a bad head gasket. And I have to put a whole nother motor in the car. So do you see me getting that fixed real soon? Will I have the funds to get it fixed?
So you bought the new car, a used car, and the car needs a new motor. That's not good. How much did you spend on the car?
I only spent $18 for it.
You spent $18.
$18, you.
Not a bad deal.
You could sell the parts.
So how much is the motor going to cost?
Well, I don't know. I'm doing my research. I know it's going to cost about a couple of hundred and paying someone to put the, you know, put it in and install it. So do you
a couple
see me
hundred
getting
a for a motor? That sounds
oh,
like.
Oh, yeah. It's
my... I thought it was like being in the thousands for a new motor.
Yeah, they got this website they have on it. That you could find
well,
somewhere.
Well, you know, your first problem was in buying the car, you didn't have a mechanic check it out first, because usually a used car is sold as is. And
yeah, no,
because
I bought it from a car auction, and you can't drive it, you can't do anything, you could just turn it
you
on.
You just
and
have
that's
to
it.
Buy it sight and not sight unseen, essentially. You just.
Well, I mean, if you take it to your mechanic and he takes a look at it and he says this is all it needs and it's in good working order, otherwise, how many miles are on it?
144.
Well, that's getting up there. But you need a car. You didn't spend too much. You might end up spending, let's just say you spend, let's just say, for instance, you spend $2,500 on the car.
I think it's worth it. For the year, I think it's worth putting an extra $1,000 into it. On it's in 18. That's a 2012.
Yeah. Well, as long as you have a good mechanic, check everything out, the brakes, the you know, all everything, the wiring, everything, the what do you call it, the hoses and where the gas line. Just have a good checkup. I would invest, you know, $100 or so to have it checked out really well.
Do you have a good mechanic that you've used in the past?
Yes, I have mechanic.
Okay, go ahead.
I think it's a good deal, Sherelle.
I guess the other question to Sherelle would be regarding her plans to stay in Michigan or leave, because they, you know, for several calls, we've been dealing with her staying in the relationship she's in. And the last time she called, she asked for a connection to spirit, and her brother came through and suggested she should move, which has been a repeated recommendation. So buying a car, I'm guessing you're planning on staying.
I know, because I didn't want to keep catching Ubers back and forth to work. And, you know, because my man said he would help me out as far as getting my car fixed, but I just want to take care of everything myself because my birthday next month. Well,
yeah,
so I hope I just.
Yeah, you know, I would definitely look at the hoses and the, you know, where things can leak. Look at the oil, look at all that stuff. Have it checked out now, so you.
Oh,
I have.
I went to a mechanic shop. I had mechanics check it out, but. I did everything. I need a new motor.
Okay.
And once I put a new motor in, that's a new car, basically.
Okay. Well, then, you know, if you're asking us, yeah, you got a new car. You'll put in $2,500 altogether. It's not bad for a 2012, $144. You might get another 100,000 miles out of it. And you don't drive that much. It's fine if that's what you're asking. the year of the car is the same number of your month and day, which is not neither here nor there, really, in this case. But, yeah, you know, Chris and I will put out our blessing, our energy to 2012.
Yes,
2012.
I wasn't going. When I put a new motor in there, I could ride more than 100 miles on it because I was looking for a motor for like 56,000, 90,000, a little less than that, 11,000 miles. So once I put a new motor in there, it's a brand new car.
Yeah.
I was just seeing like what the,
So, you know, the mileage. Well, what we're saying is you're going to have, you know, it's a good, it feels like a good, future for you in the car, you know.
Match made in heaven.
Yeah, and but we'll put out really good energy, you know, towards it, and so nothing in the reading is coming up really, nothing really bad or anything that we see.
Yeah, I was just saying, like, what do you see me having to fix before my birthday? Because it's you know, the body good. I said, do you see me having to fix before my birthday?
I'm missing what she's
saying.
Something
about your birthday. What's going on before your birthday?
Do you see me having my car fixed for my birthday?
Oh, fixed? Yeah. Yeah, you got a month. You got a month. This isn't a big cost. I would do it before your birthday.
That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to have the funds to do it.
Good, how
much
the
body real. It depends. I got to call around and see about the motor and call around and see how much will someone charge me to put it in. So it really depends.
So you're trying to get a motor that not through the mechanic, but like maybe online or something.
Well,
so it's cheaper and then have the mechanic
put
it in?
There's a difference there's a difference between ideally getting it done before your birthday than whether it's really going to happen. I mean, we don't know if it's really going to happen. We would assume that maybe by November 15th, you will have found a way to do it. That's the only rough draft energy that we're picking up on. Around November 15th, you should be able to say, okay, I think I can do this. It might be $600-700.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But your boyfriend might help you with the
If your boyfriend can help you and you pay him off and you pay him back in increments monthly.
Well,
increments,
maybe he's going to give her the money. Who knows? Is he planning on just giving you the money or is it a loan?
I don't know. He just told me not to worry. He'd help me. But he's the type of person in the long run. But he the type of person in the long run, let's say if we were to get into an argument, he'd throw it up in my face. Well, I'd help you do this, I'd help. So I just
If it's a gift, just have him say it's a gift. Just say it's a gift. I mean, if there's no contract or anything and he gives you the money and there's no verbal promise to pay it back or anything and he throws it back to you, I mean, sometimes that happens in life. But if you need a car and he's willing to pay for it and, you know, I wouldn't turn that away.
Yeah. I just know how he is.
All right. The only problem I see is that we've told her to leave the relationship and then she's taking money. I mean, but, you know, whatever. Whatever works.
Well,
whatever works. Okay. 201. It's good.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
Fine.
Hi.
Thanks. What's going on?
Just really down and feeling useless and worthless. So I was hoping you guys could say some good news. I don't know, coming my way. Hopefully.
What's your plan? I mean, last time we talked, you said you weren't interested in looking for a job because you were thinking about having a baby, but your husband wasn't really on board.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
So you need to look for a job. Hey, I have an idea. Have you ever thought of working in cosmetics like in a department store?
Well, you need a license for that, and
You don't need a license for that. Not in department.
Over here in Florida, you do. I tried looking it up, and you need a license for that, or they at least prefer you have license for that, or going to school for that. And I went for the schooling, but I am not into it. I quit the first week.
I would research that further. You know, I don't know Florida's laws specifically about that, but, you know, as far as I know, if you're working for like a major cosmetic company like Estee Lauder or Chanel or whatever, working in a department store does not require a license. Yeah, they might prefer, but believe me, people that are licensed estheticians aren't going to want to work in a department store atmosphere because you're not doing really the meat of what a licensed esthetician does, which is like, you know, doing facials and performing like waxings and things like that. I mean, you just don't do that in a department store. So I would research that further because it seems like that would be a fun creative outlet for you and a way to make money. Have you gone to any of the department stores like Macy's?
No, I applied online, but I never really got any bites.
Yeah, you're not going to get a bite by applying online, I don't think. You need to go to like the counter that you're interested in or go talk to the department manager in the cosmetics department. And see if there are any positions available. But it seems like with your, I mean, you're exotic. It seems like that would be a good place for you to go. That's one suggestion.
The other thing, Gunjan, you know, aside from advertising, which is what your background is, and you've exhausted everything there, one thing you might think of, you may not like the idea, but you might think of going to an Indian restaurant and managing a restaurant, or you're very good at cooking Indian food. You're very, very knowledgeable.
Yes,
and thinking about going to a restaurant and either being a manager or directing the menu or being a cook there, that's one thing you can do without having to do it at home and use your own kitchen. I mean, there's one thing there. You know, you're slipping into depression. And your depression is not going to, you know, you're trying to find ways to make your life seem valuable. And if the baby thing isn't working out with your husband, your road to depression is going to get worse now because nothing's going to fit for you. You're just feeling useless. So what you should do is at least get your head in gear and do something that will maybe be a support system for your well-being, even if it's temporary until you find something else out. But you're talented. You're very talented in cooking. You're very talented in displaying food.
And I'm sure she's talented. I mean, you know, she does her makeup beautifully.
Makeup.
So that's an artistic, you have an artistic talent. So whether it's in food or in, you know, cosmetics, there's got to be some kind of creative outlet for you. And I think going beyond, whether it's a restaurant, like Neil was saying, managing a restaurant or doing something like that, what were you going to say?
Chris and I have gone to a lot of Indian restaurants, and we have found it to be poor. There's a little place here called Little India, and which is a really in population of Indian population. And we've kind of like,
Well, there are some good restaurants.
There are
but
good
not-
restaurants, but...
Always
you're very
well
good at presentation, and to go to a restaurant and show your abilities and your talents. I mean, we're trying to brainstorm for you because I don't think that depression is going to just ban it.
But I think finding a job online is difficult. And there is someone else that we talked to, I don't know, a month or two back on the radio who lives in Arizona, and she's had a real problem. And she said, well, you know, I've only applied online. We said, listen, go into an employment agency. In her case, that's what we suggested. But I think that if you go in, I mean, would you be interested in either of the ideas we're suggesting?
Yes, I mean, I would love to work for a makeup line, you know, help customers with makeup. I am already doing catering, but I feel like it's more of a hobby than something I want to do all the time.
Go ahead.
Because right now I feel like me and my husband, we're having a fight. He feels like I'm not in the kitchen enough because I feel like I'm in the kitchen too much. And after cooking for customers, I don't feel like cooking for my family.
Yeah.
And he thinks I'm not in the kitchen enough cooking. And, you know, and he thinks I'm not working enough. And it's just everything is wrong.
Well, I think you need to, if you don't want to do something in the food industry, it sounds like you don't.
Well, you know, the restaurant, you don't have to necessarily go to a restaurant and cook. There might be other ways to express your talent in a restaurant, particularly an Indian restaurant. Have you tried it? Are there a lot of restaurants near you? Indian restaurants?
There are.
I mean, the only thing that I would say is, you know, in both examples, in her working in a cosmetics, like at a cosmetics job and in a restaurant, she doesn't have experience in either one of those areas.
But she does.
Managing a restaurant, though, takes a lot.
Well, you could.
Restaurant knowledge, it really does.
You know, the presentation of a restaurant, you could do some advertising since you're into advertising for restaurants. You could go specifically to restaurants and just offer your talents from advertising to cooking to presentation to menu design to you don't have to do the cooking yourself, or you can supervise cooking.
So I don't mind cooking. I mean, I like cooking, but, you know, it's not – I don't like cooking all day, every day. You know, I don't want it to be my life.
What I'm saying is in an Indian restaurant, you wouldn't necessarily be cooking.
Right, if she's doing managerial work. So what I think Neil's suggesting the restaurant avenue, and I'm suggesting going into a department store, trying to talk to the department manager or the counter managers, go to different counters and talk to the person in charge at each counter, talk to the department manager, and start, you know, seeking employment in person, because your application is going to get lost online. Mm-hmm. And if they see you, whether it's in a restaurant environment or whether it's in a department store cosmetic environment, I think there's going to be a better chance at getting work.
Yeah.
I would suggest doing that. But I don't think you need a license in a department store.
Okay.
Those people, I mean, it's full of, and they have the seasonal help even. The holidays are coming up. They're not going to hire only estheticians, believe me. They have to get seasonal help, and all those people are not licensed estheticians.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, your problems with your husband and his demand for you to be in the kitchen more.
Or either working or in the kitchen,
will be, you know, you can, you know, that's not helping you. You're not, that's going to get you more depressed. So if I were you, instead of being in this rigmarole of being depressed and not knowing what to do and just recycling depression through your lack of ideas, I would be proactive. I would either take the suggestion that Kristen gave to see.
Do both.
Do
I think
the makeup
and
or start going to the Indian restaurants and showing your presentation and seeing if they'd be willing to maybe take you on to supervise the kitchen or to do some advertising. You know, you have great ideas. You could help a lot of Indian restaurants there. You may not even work with one.
Because of her advertising background. Yeah, it's possible.
You may be able to work with a couple of restaurants and not do any cooking. Maybe supervise.
You might be able to do both jobs. I mean, it's possible that there's only part-time work available in the cosmetic department and that a restaurant might only hire you part-time for advertising because their budget can only afford that amount. So, you know, do both.
Yeah.
And that maybe that will help you feel a little bit more purposeful.
Yeah,
if you're going out there
online and you get, you know, you can even work on commission.
Yeah.
Some of the things you do, Gunja, instead of just following a path of depression because, you know, you're not really going that extra step to help yourself.
Okay, and so go ahead if you want to say something real quick before we move on, but we want you to check back in with us and let us know what you've done next week or something. But did you want to say something?
Yeah, thank you for the advice. And I just wanted to tell you, Kristen, that I had a dream about you last week after we spoke. And in the dream, you were telling me all these predictions and they were spot on. And I just thought that was really, really weird and strange that I dreamt about you and you were making all predictions, true predictions.
Wow.
That was Yeah.
That's pretty neat. Do you have anything to say about that?
Huh?
I don't know what that means, but it was just something I wanted to share.
Oh, I appreciate you sharing it.
She made a prediction with me. She once told me I was going to have this big, like, lump on my head. And the following day, she hit me with a frying pan.
Oh,
Very accurate.
All right, Gunjan, well, let us know what happens.
Okay, thank you.
Call us, and perhaps Neil can give some insight. That's a weird dream she had.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, your abilities are getting stronger, so.
Yeah. Okay, we have, I believe, Gwendolyn. Is this Gwendolyn?
Yes, it is. How are you today?
Hey, good. How are you? 6269. She's 39123.
All right. This is a numerology.
Say that again.
You know what? I need to switch gears to a numerology level, and I'm really hoping that the both of you can help me settle this down. I keep getting these strong energy surges, and the numerical communication that my guide team uses to communicate with me has been so strong. I don't want to go on the crazy side of things, but I'm really in this twin zone that is so strong around me, and I don't want to trip a wire and be like, shoot, like I should have pulled back. They keep coming to me with these numerical messages. Like 1111 keeps coming around us, and I've noticed that it picks up now when I'm in communication with him or I'm in physical with him.
Wait a second. You're getting a code. What is it?
I always get 1010. That lets me know that different phases are occurring. That's what I have always gotten from my guide team. So I know that, okay, but I always have to jump because I have to apply it to what is in that moment for them to be communicating with me. So I try to discern, okay, this was the thought, this is where I was at. I'll know which area to apply it at that time. That's what I've always followed. But now they keep coming with the 1111. There's something about 12768 that is so twin-like, and the energy around me, it sets off my sacral chakra like an alarm. It keeps popping up. And I am not one that was a big, 11, 11, 11, 11. Oh, my, no. But it's so strong, and I keep getting these energy surges. And then I keep getting a 1014 and a 1024. They're repetitive, but between
them. Is 12768 connected to anybody you know, like a birth date, or is that just?
Yes, that's the guy I met after they showed me the silhouette of that mirror reflection. The night that I was there, that shooting star, and it has all these synchronicities around. They get stronger and stronger. There's something to it, and I want to hope and pray that I'm discerning this correctly. It gets a little complicated and overwhelming for me.
Well, you know, in your pattern, what you have in your pattern, you have a repetitive energy in your pattern of your birth date. You have 3 sixes, which is an 18. And then your most outstanding numbers left over are 2 or 9, and 2 times 9 is 18. So you've got this form energy of 18, not only in your 3 sixes, but in the 2 and the 9 multiplied. 18 becomes a 9, which happens to be your last number. And so sometimes what happens is that spirits and energies will communicate via numbers, And to them, numbers mean something. To human beings, it's hard to decipher sometimes codes. It's like looking at a physicist, or if Einstein were working on the blackboard, you see all these numbers and you go, I have no idea what that means. It looks like nonsense. And Einstein says every number is significant. Every number means something. It has a value, it has intensity and energy. So you have to, you know, the baseline of number systems, there is a meaning to it. You have to kind of attach it to something and then determine what it may mean. It could be a date. There could be a connection between you and your that ex-boyfriend or whoever that was. And so you have to kind of assume that you're a compounded energy, 39, 12, 3. The 12 itself is, in your 39, 12, 3, the 12 itself is significant in terms of your two sixes. And when you have that going on, there is a kind of a gravitational pull towards the third eye, which is the sixth chakra. So you have a, sometimes it's hard to decipher. I mean, when I was a little boy and being taught numerology by my grandfather, the numbers meant nothing to me. It took a long time for them to start to click and really mean something. And then from there I grew into deeper theories and such. So it's not the numbers. I would probably write them down and just keep them handy on a piece of paper. Don't worry about definitions right now. Don't try to strain your brain and try to figure it out. Just write down the patterns. But, you know, if you get too many patterns, and it's just going to be your brain is overloading you with visual numbers and it doesn't mean anything. It's meaningless. So, you know, be careful with reading too much into what you see as numbers or feel as numbers. And if spirits are giving you numbers that you can't make any sense out of, I don't know if I would entertain the journey that much, because it's not going to mean anything. It's going to drive you crazy. So
sorry to interrupt. Did you, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to ask about this guy. Gwen,
yeah,
are you still,
127.68. It's so twin-like. It flips my mind sometimes, but it won't stop coming. Like, I can't explain it.
Well, are you in a relationship with him?
Yes, and we've been over a year.
So you are together. You guys are together.
Oh,
together.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, and well, it's
you know,
getting stronger. Just,
their master numbers are a 10, which she's saying, you know, she's is the code she's seeing. You guys are a 10 together, 7 and 3. And those are sacred energies, 7 and 3.
It's very twin-like. I don't know how to explain it. I don't really know much about that. But I just know characteristics of some common, but I don't even know the trust on that. But inside me, I can't. Yes, we are so much alike. And when he'll say that, and he's not the enlightened one. He is not. He believes in the higher power. That's how he lives his life. He knows he gets back to that in the core of himself all the time. We do it so differently, and he'll say that, like, oh, my God, we're so alike. Yeah, and we are. It's insane, but yet we complement.
Well, you share a past life with them, so there's an energy field of narration there that occurred between the two of you in a past life, and that energy in that past life has obviously moved over into this lifetime.
Yeah,
and that's commingling with your own respective past lives that you had separate from one another. But the past lives you had together are now mixed into the package of who you are today and who he is today. So there's going to be probably, there was probably a marriage before, there was a union before, and that wasn't totally resolved, it wasn't finished. You're coming back and reconnecting with him. So the attitude here would be, perhaps to unite with him with as much spiritual energy as possible. If I were you, I would work with his level of spirituality. If you feel you know more, feel you have more to say, or you're more expressive in your spirituality, then work on his level and help him to feel confident on that level, and then gradually move it up further as he becomes more confident and a little bit more expressive in spirituality. But the journey between the two of you, that's much more important than you trying to figure out what these numbers mean. Your journey with this man would be in the realm of spirituality. He's a seven and you're a three. And that seven that he is, he hasn't fully accomplished all the energies of that seven yet. So maybe there's going to be something on your part that might help him out.
So, you know, I don't want to go back to the numbers. You're kind of directing her away from the numbers. But what's interesting is, Gwendolyn, your master number is broken up in his first two numbers. 1, 2 is a three. And then his master number is in his fire number, the seven.
Yeah.
So obviously a karmic connection.
Yeah, very strong.
What past life could that be?
I'm sorry?
Would I ever know that? Would I ever know what past life we shared? Like, can't Spirit give me, like, 1800s? Like, that's curiosity to me. Like,
You'd have to probably, I mean, whether it came to you necessarily or you would, you know, do a reading and explore that. Would be different, you know. I mean, definitely
a
past life regression.
Do a reading with someone that doesn't put you two as, you know, Solomon and Sheba. You don't be careful with what people say the two of you were. Most of that's nonsense. But there are
legitimate.
Because
we were Solomon and Sheba.
Yeah, we were Solomon and Sheba. I was Sheba.
Yeah, I don't want to put too much into that. Like, to me, it was a curiosity thing.
You're
funny.
You know, from our end, you've had a past life with them. To go deeper into that would require a little bit more work in terms of its reading.
Gotcha.
But
I am feeling that strong. Like, it's an insane type of energetic. And as you were speaking to me, my whole body's tingling as you're saying that to me. So to me, it's leave it alone right there. I'm not going down that road. I have other things that I'm doing.
Your soul captures a lot of the information inside of you. So your soul necessarily knows more than your conscious brain does, because your soul's the one that's been traveling. And there's sometimes
and there goes my whole body.
Soul and the body tingling that.
Okay, Gwendolyn.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, guys. Have a great day. Thank you so much.
Okay, 519 is our next caller, then 203. 519 forgot to raise his or her hand again, but we know that this person wants reading. Hi.
Oh, hi, Kristen. Hi, Neil. It's Jennifer.
You had your hand raised before. Do you want to speak with us or not?
Well, I was trying to listen on my laptop, but there's no sound coming through. But I've heard other post saying that there's a problem with the sound. So just so you know, there's
a
sound coming through off that computer, yeah.
Okay, are you just
listening?
But
you guys sound clear on the phone.
I can put you back on mute if you like.
Perfect, thank you.
Okay. 203.
Hi, how are you both? Pat?
Hi, fine, thanks. How are you? Hi.
Hi.
712.
Huh. That's right, 53.
53, okay. 28101. What's going on?
Well, I have been in a crossroads, I think a major crossroads for a number of months, and at times I think I'm not making any progress. I'm just wondering if you could give me a bigger view of this.
Okay, well, what's happened since the last time we talked? Because I think that was kind of the same content of the last reading. You were having problems getting commissioned artwork going.
Yeah, I've got that going a little bit. I'm pushing myself, and whenever I can, I get up and do it. I'm still getting blocked, but I'm better. You know, I'm doing a little better, but still the depression is still there, and I'm trying different things like higher thyroid, and I'm looking at a lot of webinars about gut and hormones and stuff, and I'm trying to find my way. And at times,
so you're looking
at
like the physical link to depression. Maybe it's something medical that's going on.
I'm going to ask you a question. Did you have this is a weird question, Pat? Did you have a mother that made you make your bed? Was she a strict mother, a stern mother, and did she suffer from depression?
Yes, on both counts. And she was strict in an odd way, a very kind of sick way. Not necessarily that strict that I could really have benefited from those lessons.
Right.
Well, like
your depression is stemming from the energy field that you were brought up under.
Can I ask her what you mean strict in an odd way? Can you elaborate on that?
I can give you an example. I had hand-me-down clothes that were so old, you know, it took years for me to fit into them, that literally I was laughed at when I got on the bus. I dealt with that pretty well, but at night when she'd pick them out, I'd beg her, please don't pick that, please don't pick that, and she would insist. And then she'd come over and say, kiss me goodnight, and I'd be so furious with her that I'd turn my head. And it would end up being kiss me goodnight and I'll thank you. And she also convinced me to get this stuffed rabbit that I really didn't want. She convinced me to name it something that I really didn't want. And then when I really fell in love with it and it really became my sanity, this rabbit became like King Solomon. He was so wise and he was everything to me. And then my mother threw him out after I got sick, but never told me.
Yeah, your mother had problems. Your mother had problems.
Yeah.
You were brought up under these problems, and you internalized a lot of this. And so your state of being as it stands is a direct manifestation of your upbringing with your mother. And as you get older, you're 65, you're starting to assume a kind of identity crisis that you had with your mother that you've been living with for all these years, some of which you've resolved, some of which you haven't. And that's what the problem is. Your energy needs to be cleared of what consciousness you have regarding your mother.
Yes.
There needs to be a clearing. And if you can get a clearing done on that basis, which can be done through energy work, therapy, discussion, you're going to feel a lot better, because that's what's clouding the issue of your life right now. And it's affecting your health. It's affecting your well-being. It's even affecting your progress towards having a viable career. So, that's what it is. You got to release yourself with some of the energy that your mother, unfortunately, the interactions were not healthy.
Yeah. Yes, I feel like I'm scared that at this point in my life they're going to start to cement. So I've been desperately trying to find new avenues again. I am leaving my therapist in hopes of connecting with a new one, and I'm hoping I think maybe my therapist was holding me back too.
How long have you been with your current therapist?
I was with her for probably 3 years, and I left her once before kind of under the same issue. We never go deep, and I really want to go deep and analyze things so I can.
Okay, Pat, get a new therapist and tell the therapist you want to get work through issues you had with your mother, and you want to be released of those issues and get deep into it. And someone who is willing to move into that and has a talent to be able to know exactly and listen to you closely, and then with skill know how to work yourself out of that energy field.
Exactly. Is the pool of therapists that you're choosing from like supplied by a special kind of insurance, or I mean, what's the, because
yes.
I do have some financial implications. So
yes,
you're,
that
you're,
matters.
You're
I've,
not,
I've
the,
found,
go ahead.
I have found two. One's too busy, but said, call me back if you know you still have trouble. He recommended another one who I really like, and I'm waiting for him to call back. And I feel hopeful that these people are going to be willing to have more intellectual conversations with me to help me trace things back so I can let them go.
Maybe it will be helpful not having a man instead of a woman, just given the problem.
Know.
You know,
I mean. You think so?
Well, let's hope that one of these two guys will come through and you'll have the content you need to get through it, and you'll have a stimulating conversation, somebody who's intellectual, who knows their business and can work you out of your energy field with your mother, because it has produced an energy field now.
I just wonder if it might be easier to bond with a male because of the problem she had with her mother. I mean, you know.
I mean, it's possible. It's possible.
You know what's bizarre?
What?
I've been waiting to responsibly meet with my therapist to talk to her about ending it, or at least finding some other help as well. She went away for 3 weeks. Then when she came back, she evidently set me up for an appointment, but she didn't tell me about it. So she texted me, I hope you're not going to miss this. And then since then, she's been sort of unenthusiastically trying to schedule an appointment. And now she says, oh, now I'm going away for 3 weeks. So this is going to be a total of 8 weeks that I've not been able to meet with her. I think the universe is really saying or supporting
me. Get rid of her. Get rid of her. She's old. Okay. She's get rid of her. Just get
what
to
is,
a new therapist. Don't work with her anymore.
Does she not want to be with me?
Who cares?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't
yeah.
matter. It's done. I wouldn't.
Really?
I wouldn't fall into the. Not. Yeah, that's what we think. I wouldn't fall into the trap of analyzing. You know,
a relationship that you're leaving. I mean, if you're going to leave the relationship,
over.
Get out of it.
She didn't.
She's not helping you.
She's not helping you. It didn't go far enough. She held you back.
Okay.
You said it yourself. Just move on. Don't dwell on what that meant. Who cares? It's done. Move on.
I'm in a place of such negativity, which I'm trying to work with, and I think I'm just afraid that she hate being around me because I'm so negative.
Who cares? Who cares?
All right.
What she thinks? You are.
All right, I hear you.
You're in a field of negativity, but quit saying that.
Yeah.
What you got to do is get on the ball of being enthusiastic about tackling it and getting past all these issues you had with your mother.
Yes, and my meds doctor is brilliant, and he said, you're not negative. He said, yeah, you've got negative issues, but, you know, you come in and you talk about them, and we go somewhere with it. So he's actually the one that's making me think I need a new therapist, because it's just one.
Okay.
He's brilliant. So thank
you.
Agree.
I agree.
Okay.
Thank you.
Pat, good luck.
I'll let us know what happens. I will. I'll call you again in a couple of weeks. Bless you both.
Okay,
thanks so much. And I love your new photos. I don't know if they're new or not, but they're new to me, and they're lovely.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
They're not too new. Well, they've been up for a while, but I'm glad you got the chance to look. We're going to be putting a picture of our cat up soon, so for that.
Cool. That's
okay.
Nice. Thanks a lot. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Actually, very funny thing happened yesterday is our cat took a picture of herself with my iPad.
Yeah, she's talented.
She took a picture of herself with my iPad. Very strange thing going on. Her toys ended up upstairs in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Crazy.
She's a
supernatural
cat. She appeared out of an olive tree out of nowhere. She just appeared out of the earth, and she's magical. Magical cat.
Okay, we have a few minutes to talk.
So, what's our topic?
The forgetful soul.
I was being facetious.
Yeah,
it's, you know, the land of the forgotten. What we sometimes do, the reason sometimes we forget is because we're not able to maintain our memory of past life. That was which was part of the topic today, more or less the memory of what we did between lifetimes, which is most crucial. That's crucial.
Well, the soul remembers, though. I mean, really.
The brain doesn't.
And so once the soul and the brain are joined together, the soul's in the body, then, you know, it isn't always successful in terms of
it needs to be, it's like the wires aren't connected. So what happens is, you'll go to sleep and then you have a dream that you're in a classroom or you're being taught something or you're talking to a lot of people you never feel when you wake up you knew who they were or they weren't recognizable. These are usually indications that one has traveled astrally into a plane where their astral soul is revisiting past lives and maybe is even in an astral classroom discussing their past life issues and energy work that they did between lifetimes. One of the main functions of our earthly existence, whether we know it or not, is to connect to our soul and to try to retain or recall where we have come from. I mean, we try to do it, you know, archaeologists try to do it through bones and trying to figure out where man and woman started and all this. And then we try to do it sometimes in our life to where we, like with our previous caller, where we go back and try to figure out what went wrong in our childhood. Well, the soul is concerned about that, but the soul is also immersed in
immersed
in thank you, Professor. In past life.
Well, yeah.
Crying out loud. You have past lives. Your soul just, people are going to go, well, you know, the soul just started in the body. And God tapped the soul, and the soul just starts in the body. The soul just didn't start in the body. The soul started with the first human beings and how we've evolved. And even if you're of a Christian nature or Judaic or whatever it may be, Muslim, whatever it may be, the soul is eternal. It doesn't, it just didn't spark, jump up and connect to you. The soul is ancient, and it travels in our body. And if it wasn't ancient, then it would die with the body. So, you know, we tend to think that the soul just occurred at the time that we breathed or at the time that we were conceived. And then, you know, what is the nature of the soul? Does it end or does it continue? And does it have to have a Jesus tag or a, you know, a Muslim tag or a Judaic mm-hmm. tag? What is the soul outside of a world religion? That's what the eternal question is. You know, I don't think when God created Adam and Eve, he was wearing a yarmulke. And I don't think he was, wearing Catholic, vestments. All of this is man-made.
Well, he probably wasn't wearing any, I mean, you know, he's not a...
God doesn't have,
like, a physical body, obviously.
He was black like me. So. But, you know, and so the aspect of what have we forgotten? We tend to think that what we remember is in text, in biblical text or religious text. That's what we tend to remember. But most of us don't remember individually where we came from. I mean, not some of us do, but most of us are walking around in a haze. We've forgotten why we're here, and we go through the motions.
That's why we suffer from depression and things like lost purpose, so on and so forth.
A lot of that, and a lot of that is because people aren't really connected even in how they bring up children. But, we didn't come down here to go on Facebook. And we didn't come down here to go to a restaurant and photograph the food or whatever. We didn't come down to watch a movie. And to tell you the truth, we really didn't just come down to have a profession. The soul, the souls, when I've traveled into the astral realm, souls don't sit there telling me, well, I was a doctor. I was an actor. There's nothing tagged with a soul in that regard, at least in my experience. The soul's journey is about attainment towards the knowledge of God and the knowledge of high spirit energy. That's what at least this person's heard in the astral realm, not the things that they have done on the planet, unless those things have produced karma.
Right. Well, and then, you know, if you're talking about going into the astral realm and visiting souls, you know, if you're, you know, there are different there are different levels of the astral realm. So the souls that are on a lower physical density of the astral realm are going to be repeating activities they might have done on the planet. The reason why is they're still connected to the earth so much that their actions on the astral plane are mimicking that which they did on the earth.
Right. I mean, yes, that's true. And, you know, I mean, the Greeks determined that the astral plane was the underworld, and they tried to, and they attained, status in the underworld in relation to what their connection were to the gods. And most of them who were favored by the gods, they were given more privileges, and those that were not favored by the gods were given punishment in the underworld, in the afterlife of the underworld. So the navigation, the Greeks believed that you had to learn how to navigate your soul through the underworld, and a lot of that took bargaining. A lot of that was through persuasive dialoguing. in that realm. So people in at least Greek mythology felt, you know, Zeus and Persephone and all these people were Sisyphus, were all part of the process through which a person would travel through the underworld and have to experience these gods and negotiate their life history with them in order to see, determine if they were going to be favored or not in the underworld. We don't necessarily in our Western civilization talk about the underworld. I mean, you know, maybe to some extent Dante talked about the underworld, Italian, but we don't necessarily, Christian and Judaic religions don't necessarily say, well, you're going to go through hell and you're going to have to negotiate your way through hell with gods and goddesses and
whatnot. Well, I mean,
the
notion of purgatory, I mean, may be somewhat akin to the underworld in terms of Christian.
With Dante.
Yeah.
You know, the Italian historical, the Italian religion would, in terms of the Catholic religion and Dante and that kind of thing, talked about purgatory. And that was a realm through which one was able to negotiate the journey between heaven and hell. So you went through this purgatory where maybe you could work off your sins. And there were different caste systems and different layers of penance that you had to do in terms of those energies. Well, we don't really have time.
We don't
time to get into it, but it's too bad. But the idea of the journey of the soul can still be accomplished in our wakeful hours that we live in this encasement of skin, brain, heart, liver, and that can bring us to a place of some form of intelligence and enlightenment in terms of us connecting to our third eye and our higher conscience.
And unfortunately, we are out of time, Neil. We are out of time. So we're back on Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. We really didn't get a chance again to get deeply into our conversation, but hopefully we'll do that on our next show. Thanks, everybody.